to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities,
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Yes, welcome to Resettle Radio. Once again, it is me, Pierre Bahati, and... Yes, once again in the studio, we have a lot to talk about. We have music, the best, you know, that's what I want. I love music. Everybody knows that I love music, my reggae and stuff. But now, you know, I love reggae and zouk. So, just remember, whenever I'm here, you're going to get some zouk, you're going to get some reggae. But hey, Afrobeat. I'm sure you love Afrobeat.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, it is music. So let's start with some beats, and after we're going to come with some programs, and stay tuned because we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of things been happening, and Galwad has been doing some research, and it's all yours. Agatako, Agatako by Dr. Chameleon. Galwad, you love this music. Just tell me about Agatako. You know, this is a Ugandan song, and he's the most famous in Uganda. Not only that, even in West Africa. So the song is called Agatako.
Agatako. And you know, and guess what? I don't even know the name, but I like the music.
That that word Agatako means, like, I just saying how beautiful it is, because if you pronounce it wrong, that's how language is a problem. You pronounce it wrong and it's going to go to the different meaning. So Agatako by Dogita Chameleon.
I like him because when I was in Kenya, I used to listen to him. I saw him personally when he came to Nairobi in 1998, something.
That reminds me that you speak also Swahili, because I've seen some of his messages, Salam. And, you know, welcome. This is the Resettled Radio on Planet FM 104.6. This is brought to you by ARCC. I'm sure many of our fans, just so you know what is ARCC. They help everyone who's in need of just settling in the country, settling in New Zealand. Aiwe, my baby. This song normally it is a love song. It's Dr. Chameleon featuring DJ Pius from Rwanda. You are with Resettled Radio, Planet FM 104.6, Pierre Bahati, and my best friend, Galwad. Yes, man. In the studio. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. And I bet you it's a good time for you to be with us, because there's nothing happening outside. It has been raining, it has been flooding. So for you who are who've been thinking, oh my God, I wish I was maybe somewhere. No, look, don't even go, because as driving, the weather is not nice. But thank God, from yesterday, you know, I passed some of the streets, was so flooded. I spent about half an hour driving where I normally drive 2 minutes.
And man, I'm telling you, when I was driving home last night, I was, you know, so wet. It was heavily raining in my place. I was like, oh man, not today.
Yes. So happening here in the studio, we have a Garwat with some research of stuff, a bunch of stuff. You know, he's a hard-working man, not like me. He has been researching few things. But one thing I've got for you, though, is African Film Festival, which is coming soon. So if you go on Facebook and search African Film Festival in New Zealand, then you get to see what type of film they are bringing to us. Last year, I had an opportunity to attend the opening as we walk through the red carpet. Yes, interviewing some people in the new market where they had the opening. Was so great to see a lot of life. Yes. Was full of life. Thousands of people turn up. Was so great. Yes. So yes, don't forget that next week I'm gonna try to get the people who are preparing the film festival in the studio, and please stay tuned and stay listening to Reset Radio on 104.6. So Garwat, what do you have for us?
Oh, we have a lot of stuff today. We are a settled community. We don't run out of stuff, so we are still integrating and resettling. So the resettlement has not finished in one course of time. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things happening in the world. We have, you know, the famine, the hunger is striking in the Horn of Africa. When you talk of Horn of Africa, you are talking about a bunch of countries. Ethiopia involved, Somalia is there, South Sudan is there, Sudan itself is there. A bit of history here. People confuse South Sudan with Sudan. It used to be one country, but in 2011, on July 9, 2011, South Sudan pulled out of Sudan. It was a long history, a lot of conflicts. It went to 3 civil wars, I think, before even our fathers were born. It never stopped war until 2011, when South Sudan decided to pull out of Sudan. So from South Sudan, if you call me Sudanese, that's fine too, because I used to be a Sudanese.
But you are from South Sudan.
From South Sudan.
You know, not that many people may understand, but Sudan is Sudan, but because that's how we used it. It's like, for me, I got to know South Korea and North Korea, they were Korean.
Yeah.
But, you know, because of conflict and stuff, that's why we have received the radio.
Even, you know, in my passport, it's written born in Sudan.
Born in Sudan.
And now with the Trump new immigration thing that might affect me, but hey, I used to live. I used to be there. I was born there, but now it's a different country. I should not be leveled as Sudanese.
Which country Trump doesn't want? Is it South Sudan or North Sudan?
I think
none.
Sudan. But that would come and affect South Sudanese.
Talking about the famine in Sudan, they have declared that Sudan is like a zone where it's known by the famine. Not only South. I mean, I know a lot of countries, Somali.
Yeah.
Last week we had the celebration, and that lady was talking about Somali, they have the kind of problem. So what? I know you know a lot. What UN is just like intending to do? What is going to do? What kind of hope we can just tell people?
I think now people have become so torn apart. But the United Nations is doing its best. But you know the problem is overwhelming. The thing is, when you are helping people who live in where there's no effective government, it makes it even worse.
Yes.
The United Nations has spent a lot of money. I think this year as for 4.4 billion US dollars to help 4 countries.
Yes.
Ethiopia, Sudan, Yemen, and Nigeria. And if you connect these countries together, there's a history of violence. Not just a history, but there's a violence going on. Maybe on a lower level in Nigeria because of Boko Haram and all of that. But for the rest of the countries, it's still active violence in Yemen, in South Sudan, in Somalia.
Yes.
And Ethiopia is hosting, I think even the United Nations says Ethiopia is the I think the largest hosting refugee country now as we speak.
Yeah.
And where can you provide all this? Where can you get the food and stuff and medication to help people? So Ethiopia by itself needs help from the international community. It needs help to help these people. We have a lot of Sudanese refugees and, you know, Somali refugees, name it. They are there. That's a problem. How it should be addressed, that's a problem. See?
But, you know, my struggle always has been, what is the connection? You know, the connection between famine and the famine and the war. Okay, you know, we all know that once there's a war, people cannot go to work.
They call it a man-made disaster.
Yes, but you know, most of the time you look a few things. You know, even if we have like a government, the UN, the stuff. The reason most of the countries I know, forget about the war, I know it's because there's like a lake of like a trees, so therefore there's no rain.
Yeah.
So for me, it should have been a simple training to plant trees, to encourage people to plant trees, UN just to go there, pump some fertilizer in that region so we can have a little grass to grow and trees to grow.
I think there's a need for education, for that education about, you know, the effects.
That's what I think, that they should be doing things like that. Because, you know, even if we have a UN, what do you think about like the UN just going to Sudan, Somalia, and some other places where they have this kind of problem, just planting trees?
Yeah, they can plant the trees, but when the war comes tomorrow, you never know what will happen. The trees might find, you know, themselves being cut down because if there are no laws guiding them. You know, these people, most of them live in the rural areas. They don't know what is going on in the rest of the world. They don't know the trees will help them for the rain and other stuff. Some do, because communities are not the same. Some are aware of that factor, but the rest are not. And it requires some sort of training. Like you said before, especially UNDP can come in and say, hey, trees are good. Let's just plant trees. You know, it will help you with rain and all the stuff.
I'm sure providing peacekeepers for trees will be easier than providing peacekeepers for people who are fighting with guns and stuff.
Yes,
and,
right.
You know, the people listening right now, I find it so crazy that you find people who have no food, no clothes, like in some of the countries in Sudan, in Ethiopia, Somalia. They have guns. They have guns, but they don't have food.
And even 2 weeks ago, the United Nations came up with a very scary figures. They say a day, 110 people die in Somalia because of hunger, lack of food. If you translate that, 110 people a day, not only in Somalia, not all over Somalia, but only in one region, which they call the Bay region, the southern part of Ethiopia.
Yes.
So if you translate that 1 hour or a day, that would be a bunch of number of people dying because of food, lack of food.
Yes, you are listening to Research 14.6 here on Planet FM. And when we come back, we carry on talking about what's happening in life of refugees, in life of those people who are struggling because of selfish people. You know, we say because of selfish people. So, Awilo Longoma with Awilo Longoma featuring Peace Square, Planet FM 14.6. crazy happening here. Crazy happening. I can see Garwa dancing. I love the way you dance. Love the way you enjoy music. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting us on the line. Everybody, let's see where they complain. Whether you like it or not, we know they complain. I've been here, Papa, give me the money, I didn't spend. Square, you have Pierre and Garwa in the studio. Thank you for being listening. We've been here talking about lives around us. We've been talking about people who are hungry in different countries. Yes, after personally, we're gonna be bringing some more of our information or things happening around us.
Yeah.
All thanks to Garwa for the research has been doing.
Personally, professionally, I see what you're doing intentionally. Get me wanted physically, so give it to me radically. Emotionally, psychologically, you're turning me on biologically. Sexually, dramatically, and she talks that she know why. I know go lie, the things within my mind. When I see you dancing, girl, you got me high. And if you wanna try, make a good day tonight. Cause I'm in the mood, as long as you're feeling the good, I will deal with you. Personally, I go deal with you. Personally, I go deal with you. Yeah, exceptionally. The reason is spiritually. Money speaking so drastically. Magically, internationally. Abba, abatically. Rama, now for dictionary. Saga, so she know one me. She talks so she know one me. I know go lie. The things within my mind. When I see you dancing, girl, you got me high. And if you wanna try, make a good day tonight. Cause I'm in the mood. As long as you're feeling the good, I go deal with you. Personally, I go deal with you. Personally, I go deal with you.
Yes, karibu sana na asante sana. Oh, that was my language. God knows that. Yes, we just want to thank you for being with us, and you can also follow us. You can listen to us anytime online. Thank you. We've been talking about UN things happening around the world. We've been asking why there's the famine in different countries. Now UN has declared that Somalia is just like a place where people are hungry. So if you want to help, try to find different places where you can just go to help people.
Yeah. But the problem is not only Somalia, in four countries, in Somalia,
Sudan,
South Sudan, and Ethiopia, and Yemen, is going on and on and on.
Yeah. What can be done? What can be done if you have an idea? Why don't you just help?
Yeah.
And my question is what can be done? But now you attended the conference on the 14th of February, and the conference was it's a UN conference. Yes.
Yeah, UN.
What did you talk about? What was anything was mentioned about people who are being refugees, or maybe people who are hungry, needing help, or maybe being a refugee? Because when we talk about refugee, most of the time, what we understand is just like a refugee of war. We don't talk about people who are a refugee because of some other natural disasters.
True. I was in my office one of the time, and I was in my office one day, and one of these ladies called me. I answered the phone, and she said, "Hey, I want to meet refugees in New Zealand. I mean, in Auckland, I want to meet refugees." I said, "The best place you can meet the refugees, or you can talk to the refugees, unless you go to Syria." He say, "Hey, are you in New Zealand?" I said, "Yeah, it depends on what number you call. If you call New Zealand number, then I'm in New Zealand. And if you call overseas number, then I'm in overseas."
Yes, yes.
You see, there's this miscommunication and misunderstanding between the refugees and those who have resettled. This kind of miscommunication, goes worldwide. It's
yes,
not only in New
and
Zealand.
And truly what you're saying that 100% understand, because I was a refugee, my struggle, even if, like, let's say I'm here, maybe it has been 2 weeks, the struggle, the pain, I cannot express the pain I have. I had that time, because if you want to know the real pain, it's just somebody who are going through that moment.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm. And the true fact is there are no refugees in New Zealand, but there are communities who used to be refugees.
Yes,
because the moment you land in New Zealand, when they brought you as a refugee, and then when you land, they give you residency. Then you become a New Zealand resident.
Yes, yes.
There's no point in any given time where a resident can be called a refugee. It doesn't happen that way, and you are no longer a refugee because you have got the protection you need. And one of those things that have been discussed at the United Nations conference here in Auckland on February 14 this
true,
year
true, yeah.
was to redefine how people use the language.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
I know one guy called me a refugee from America. I said, I have an American citizenship. How would there be a refugee from America? Are you serious? I say, "Oh, okay, excuse my ignorance." I say, "Okay, I already pardoned you." And the thing is, what was discussed was the difference between settlement and resettlement. Because it was no refugees as such, but there are resettled community in the resettled sector. So ARCC is a resettled sector. It's a resettlement sector. So people have been discussing all this, what is the difference between resettlement and settlement.
Church.
So this is one of the topics that, caught a lot of attraction in the discussion. And we have this amazing professor from the Auckland University by the name Dr. Jay Marlowe. Is a professor in Auckland Uni, in university. And he came up with this good definition of the two terminologies. And he said resettlement is about protection and addressing the violations. See, these violations imposed on the refugees, those who used to be refugees, and because of those violations, that's why they got displaced. And when they are brought here, they have become integral part of the society, of the New Zealand society. So they should not be called refugees anymore, but they have resettled. But the question is, have they really resettled? Some of them are really struggling because resettlement and integration go hand in hand. And he said, and on one hand, the settlement means something different.
True.
Sense of belonging. So now you have become part of the community.
And the word defines itself, because when you are a settler, that means you are contained. Maybe to the extent where you're not struggling in your refugee background and struggling. We carry our baggage. We just carry from home, because I know when we come here. Imagine coming here, you don't have anything.
Yeah, and then all you have is your brain.
Yes, that's all.
The only property that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's all brain. And people have gone on and on discussing this, because what happened on the February 14 was the UN was hosted here. Mm. This is one of the conferences that should have happened in Switzerland in Europe.
Mm.
But, you know, New Zealand is so lucky enough, they brought the convention here, which is good for New Zealand.
Yes, it was.
Because we have learned a lot of stuff in there. I hope it will come back next year, hopefully so.
Mm.
And a lot of people say, you know, using the terminologies that we use affect the way we integrate.
Yeah, it's true.
As a society.
Mm. Mm.
Some people, like the refugees, and this is the strength of the ARCC, because we say, use the right language. Don't call me refugee, but call me something else.
I think it also affects a lot of young kids, the new generation. Let's say kids who just came here, they're young age. They've been here for 10 years, 20 years. Yeah. They have no idea what is being a refugee. Now they count themselves a New Zealander. So when they meet people, they ask them, can you tell me where you come from? What is being a refugee? They have no idea. And they start bearing against.
And the worst part is when the kid is born here, and then he or she will be asked on the street, hey, where do you come from?
Yes.
What do you mean I'm born here? Oh, okay. Mm. But where do your parents come from? Maybe Sudan, you know, South Sudan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Congo, Burundi, something like that. But the pain that their parents endured through that process, you know, they have never gone through that, and they have never learned that. But it is the job of the parents to teach them how they came.
True.
Because you learn the history through your parents, you know. It's not, we don't just happen to be here in New Zealand. There's a process for that.
What was the most question they asked in the meeting you attended the 14th? What did the most people, there's some questions which are being asked. What was the constant question asked?
I think the question is New Zealand doing enough to bring refugees here? And why is it difficult for the government of New Zealand to increase the refugee quota? And what are the other countries, you know, doing apart from what New Zealand is doing? Is the rest of the countries doing all right? Are we on the same page? Amazingly, Canada came up. One gentleman from Canada said, Canada does things differently. Even the community, they say it is a community initiative. That's how they call it. I have never heard of that term before, but Canada came up with that. You know, just like a community, maybe neighbors, five families, they can gather themselves. They say, hey, let's sponsor five families from refugees, from refugee background, from refugee camps. They will draft their letter, or they will ask the government that we bring these people in. When they bring them in, we will accommodate them. And the government will be saying, all right, we go with that. That program is not here in New Zealand.
That should be done in different countries of the world. Yeah. You know, let's take a little bit, talk about last few days. I saw a clip on Facebook. Things happening different around the world, happening in South Africa, where that people are being killed because they are... most of the people who are in South Africa, either they are refugee of the war, or they're refugee of famine, they're refugee of, you know, something.
Yeah.
They are, and now people are being killed in South Africa. What UN is doing, what UN is saying, nothing. But, you know, most of the time we ignore... Because there's a word, refugee, there's a war, there's a war in the country, then the UN will just go, that's a time to intervene. But there's many people dying in different ways. Today we're talking about famine in different countries, especially like in Sudan, Somalia, and some other countries. But people are not only dying because of the war. If it was the refugees, They will set a camp and the UN is there to help. We've been in the media, all Sudan, South Sudan, they're fighting. But there are people dying because of they are hungry. The people are dying because of because they are foreigners. Mm-hmm. We're talking about South Africa. Mm-hmm. But UN is not saying anything in that case.
Yeah. I have not seen that grip, the one you saw, but I know a lot of stuff are happening. Things like that.
It's happening.
People die, and UNHCR is not doing anything to help this.
It's happening. UN is just keeping it like it doesn't happen.
And what I know is that, you know, in Kenya we have two gentlemen. One is a human rights lawyer, and the other one is an advocate, an activist. I mean, they are South Sudanese living in Kenya. And, you know, they were kidnapped because they are very vocal on the government of South Sudan, and they were kidnapped by the government of Kenya. They were kidnapped by the security of Kenyan government because there were details relating to that. And the thing is, these two gentlemen, one of them, the lawyer, the human rights lawyer, is a registered refugee in Kenya, and he was kidnapped. So it was good that Amnesty International stepped in. They brought in legal team on behalf of human rights lawyer that was kidnapped, Mr. Samuel Dong. Yeah, that's the guy. And the UN is, and the question would be, Kenya is a part of the United Nations, is a member of the United Nations, is a member state. And why is Kenya participating in the kidnapping and all of that? Is there a mechanism in place where countries that are member of the United Nations can be disciplined? Because Kenya up to now is not disciplined. And it's still will participating in kidnapping and hijacking and, you know, some vocal refugees who speak up for the lack of human rights going on. Those are some of the things, you know. It's a problem.
Yes, there's a problem around the world. There's a problem happening here and there. There's a lot of needs. It doesn't have to be the war. It doesn't have to be this and that. And if we have UN who can spend a lot of money to go do peacekeeping in different places, it should be UN also to provide food, to provide not only food, to provide the safe environment for the world, especially for the young
because
people.
The question will be what can be done to stop this chaotic situations like, you know, famine, and because there's a cause for that. It does not just happen. You know.
Yeah, there's so many countries which intervene for different things. For I'm gonna excuse my language for dumb reasons, like go kill people in Iraq because Saddam is doing this and this. But there's some people who are hungry. People who are fighting in different places.
Yeah.
They can take the force to defend and to provide. Thank you for listening to Reset Radio on 104.6. As if you just join us, you have Pierre here, Bahati.
And Galwakshor.
And we are just, things are happening. We're talking about things which happen around the world which should not be happening. And we have UN, should be there to protect and to provide help. So now we're gonna bring the music to you. Selfie by Kofi Olomide from all the way Congo. The music which is almost love. Selfie is called. Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. Reset Radio on Planet FM 104.6.
Ah, Jésus Seigneur. Ahmed Bakayoko, l'homme du peuple.
Amio, Chuma, Amio,
Mila Lovis Topé.
Allez, improviser.
Jean-François Ndengue.
Ndengue Lovis Topé.
C'est bon.
Allez, improviser.
Mila Lovis Topé.
Allez, improviser.
Chuma, Chuma, Chuma.
Mila Lovis Topé.
Allez, improviser.
Et le boss Paul Obambi.
Prends la photo. Tous les camoquets. Bouquet qui mort.
Écoute idée. Écoute idée. Écoute idée. Écoute Samé Gombe. Écoute idée. Écoute idée. Écoute idée.
Bilade,
Yama ya Bandal,
Yasim,
Yamba Mateji,
Yama ya Yolo,
Echuma,
Bila Lobisto,
Ale Taborize,
Chuma, 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 Chuma,
Mingelo Bisto,
Sa, Ale Taborize,
Kanga Foto,
Buka Kingo,
Tose Kamoke.
Ego DJ, Ego DJ
Frank,
Ego DJ,
Dimba,
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 Dimba, Dimba, Dimba,
Dimba,
Dimba, Dimba,
Dimba,
Martin Chamoules,
Yama ya Brazil, Yama ya Paris, Dalanyo, Yama ya Braza.
Wait, oh, he's got two
names. Ego DJ, Ego DJ, Ego DJ, Ego DJ, Ego DJ,
Ego DJ.
Yes, as I said, you know, Zouk is for me. Girl, what is laughing? You know, the reason I love Zouk. Zouk gives you that move of just like a dancing. You want to do it. You know, you want to dance. You know, you feel like you start, you know, swinging, you know.
It brings back the whole day.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So Zouk and the reggae, Afrobeat, you know, at the max.
Akwibaje gwe bashaka babo wuru wanje
is coming. It's Oliver Ngoma. Stay with us.
Oh,
to Galwat. This is his request, UB40. This is the music, reggae. So I got a partner in the music, Zouk, Afrobeats, and the reggae.
We have
music.
A lot of things. We have a lot of things together. A lot of common things.
Yeah, thank reggae. You for being here, because we're going to be playing reggae music until the listeners goes, hey, that's too much. But it can't be too much for the reggae, Zouk, and the Afrobeats. You're listening to Reset Radio 114.6. And if you just join us, we've been talking about famine in different countries, different places. We've been talking about why people are refugees, not because of the war, but because of different reasons. And when we come back after this song, we're going to talk about why people are moving to Australia. We've got a special person who got to do some research, especially in housing.
Yeah.
Keep listening to Reset Radio on 104.6. If you just join us, thank you to YouTube. That was Garwat's request. I love it too.
That's good.
Yes, there's a difference between New Zealand houses and Australian houses. There's a difference in between Australian
housing
and New Zealand housing. Mm. The wages are different. But for me, what I follow is good life. So we have the top man who's going to do a research. He's going to do a research about those kind of issues in Australia, probably especially sent by one of our organizations. Garrett has details.
I don't know the difference myself. The fact that I have not lived here for a long time, I don't know the difference between the housing of the two nations. But what I know so far, to buy a house in New Zealand for a migrant with immigration, who immigrated as a refugee here, to buy a house in New Zealand is impossible.
Yeah, 100% impossible.
But that's what I know so far.
Yes.
And so people have been moving to Australia. There's an organization called Winston Churchill Memorial Fellowship. So it has offered a one-month research scholarship to ARCC, and specifically to our general manager, Aban Yor. And then Aban, by next month, not next month, this month, because by next month he will be back. By this month, he will travel to Australia, do the research, one-month research on housing. Why is it different? Australian housing is different from the New Zealand one. He has not discovered yet, because he has not started. But when he comes back, I think we hope he will come with fine answers as to what makes it different between the two nations. One, of course, is economic. That's the largest part of it. We have a lot of resettled communities from refugee background they move a lot to Australia, all of them. When I came here in 2010, the guys I met when I came in 2010, when I returned in 2014, I did not find them. They have all gone to Australia. One of the things that move people from here to Australia is job.
Yes, yeah.
Completely no job in New Zealand.
Definitely, yeah, there's no jobs. No, a lot of people struggle to find jobs.
And even if you get a job, then you get a low wage.
Yeah,
pay,
yeah,
yeah, you know, compared to Australia, there's, you know, and you have friends too and family members in Australia. Hey, come over here, man, you get a good job and a good pay.
They do.
And the most amazing thing, when you move from here to Australia, next year you're going to hear so and so have bought a house, really. Mm. And you will be saying, like, I'm packing up. Before, to help
our men to do a research, there's a website which I just come across, and the website is called www.ifitweremyhome.com /compare/NZ/Australia.
Oh, man.
This website is so cool because it gives you, it puts New Zealand or Australia, it's Australia and compare. To New Zealand, of course, they have New Zealand versus Australia.
Yeah.
So it goes like make 41% more money. That's in the green, all right? Be 10% or 10.94% less likely to be unemployed. It sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds good, right? So we're helping our men. From ALCC, a band who's going to be researching about
You know, people moving out from here to Australia. There are a lot of factors around that.
But
it's not only housing factor alone. There are so many factors. If you factor them together, that's a huge issue. It's not only economic, but you know, loneliness.
I think when I see that in my research here, I prefer to stay in New Zealand. To be honest, okay, we've seen 41% money, 10% to be employed, and this is not a joke because there's a link you can just search. I mean, this is a research; it's online.
Yeah,
and okay, true. Also you have this is in the green, all right? This is in the green. So living in Australia, 86% more money on health care.
See,
so you have to pay 86%. Okay. Consume 35% more oil. I don't know. Anyway, have 5% more free time. 5%
more free time.
Free time.
What does that mean?
That means
they're not working or they're taking a long break.
No, that's living in New Zealand. You have 5% free time than Australia.
No job.
Yeah, remember, it's Australia.
Yeah, like when I came in 2010, I got a work permit. I never worked until 2017.
Okay.
Now I get it.
This is New Zealand. 25%. This is so crazy, though. I don't know who said this. Okay, you have 25%. Living in New Zealand. 25% less likely to be in a prison.
Oh, gosh.
Experience. Okay, 16% less of... I think this is a visa issue.
All of that.
Yeah. My eyes are not that good, and I don't have glasses, so I'm sorry if you're listening.
Need to have that.
10% more likely to be murdered. That's living in Australia.
Then New Zealand is better than.
Yeah, New Zealand lives. A 1.4% year longer. That's how you live longer living in New Zealand.
Yeah. I think we need to tell our guys to come back.
2% use more electricity living in Australia. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. 3.49% less likely to be to die. That's living. Okay, 3.49% less to die when you are young. See?
Oh no!
Yeah, people in New Zealand, young kids don't die. Okay, you have more people dying in Australia
than in New Zealand.
Than New Zealand.
Yeah, true. I agree.
So, I agree. To me, to me. I don't know.
What is the link again?
I can't. I should post this on the ARCC page. It's called www.ifitweremyhome.com/compare/nz/au, which is Australia.
Okay.
So, do your research and see if you deserve to go to Australia. The place to resettle.
Try the comparison.
The place to be is in.
But they say there's a high chances to die if you move there. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. So, for you, just come here as a refugee. Why are you running away? Why are you going to Australia? Because
they want to work. They want to get jobs. That's what it is.
It's not about jobs. Not about money. It's not about. You don't know how much. No, I mean, no one knows how much they have to.
Hey, there's one factor here too, because you know, we met with Immigration New Zealand from National Office in Wellington.
Yes,
it was last week, and you know what they came to tell us is different. Mm. We never knew that they never brought people from Africa for a period of 9 years.
Wow!
And when they came to meet the community leaders, there were tough questions being asked. Mm, mm. And one of the community leaders from Africa, from one of the African countries, asked a very valid question, saying, okay, the government of New Zealand stopped bringing refugees from African countries. Mm. What is the point of me being in this meeting when I don't benefit from that?
Yes, true.
And they don't have answer for that.
Oh, so cool, yeah. So cool.
That's why some of these people who do not have relatives here, they decide to move to Australia where they have close relatives.
Yeah, so our man is going to research. Our man is going to find out whether we need to move. But so far, I have made my decision. I'm staying here in Auckland if I can. I may move out of Auckland, maybe go to a little bit, you know, far, maybe Hamilton, not even in Christchurch,
because only in Auckland.
More chance of being a refugee from Christchurch. So I'm staying here in Auckland. You're listening to Resettle Radio on 104.6. That was Pierre Bahati. Thank you for being with us. We're going to bring you the music. Probably this is going to be one of two or our three our last music. And we appreciate it for being with us. We love music. We love reggae. God love reggae. So you have to love reggae if you want to follow us. Just remember, Resettle Radio, 104.6.
Fighting for freedom.
Freedom, yeah.
Nobody knows what is right. Nobody knows what is wrong. The black man say it's a white man. The white man say it's the black man. Indians say it's the colors. Colors say it's everyone. Your mother didn't tell you the truth, 'cause my father didn't tell me the truth. Nobody knows what is wrong and what is right. How long is this gonna last? 'Cause we've come so far, so far. When it started, you and I were not there. Why don't we bury down apartheid, fight down war and crime, racial discrimination, tribal discrimination? Bury down apartheid, fight down war and crime. Racial discrimination, tribal discrimination. And where it's going. So, why don't we
We just want to thank you. Thank you for listening to Reset Radio. On behalf of ALCC, Pierre Bahati,
and
we hope you just catch up again next week. Thank you for being with us. It has been an awesome show.